Welcome to Primo Medico Expert Physicians Talk, health explained in an understandable way. In this podcast channel, we talk about selected medical topics in collaboration with leading medical specialists. The following content comes directly from the respective specialist and is presented by a digitally recorded voice, expertly scrutinized, clearly explained. Primo Medico, health to listen to. Nowadays, anyone who is in need of a surgical procedure is not operated on by just any surgeon, but by highly trained specialists in their own specific surgical fields. Professor Alexis Ulrich is the chief physician of the Clinic for General and Visceral Surgery at the Lukas Krankenhaus of the Rheinland Klinikum Neuss. He specializes in oncological surgery and is therefore also responsible for pancreatic cancer. Professor Ulrich, I think we both know that survival rates for pancreatic cancer are, unfortunately, generally not very good at all. So, if I may, let me ask you quite directly. In your professional opinion, can surgery actually make a significant difference in the long run?
Well, hello. Thank you very much for having me today. Surgery, in particular, can make a difference. The prognosis for pancreatic cancer is so poor because 80% of patients can no longer be operated on at the time of diagnosis as the tumor is too advanced. And for those patients in particular who can undergo surgery, there is even a chance of a cure. Of course, we cannot promise a cure to everyone, but that is not what one would call a miracle. Rather, there are many we can help, and above all, we can gain a great deal of time.
As you mentioned, pancreatic cancer is unfortunately often detected late in many patients. What criteria must be met for you to be able to operate on a pancreatic carcinoma?
First of all, it is essential that the tumor has not spread. You may have heard that tumors can also form secondary growths in the body. These are also commonly referred to as metastases. This means there are metastases in the liver, the peritoneum, or the lungs, and then it is no longer a local disease, but a systemic one. Surgery is generally only able to treat the local area, not the systemic condition. So if such metastases are present, one should opt for systemic therapy, such as chemotherapy. Furthermore, there are several major blood vessels that run in very close proximity to the pancreas, and if these structures are involved, it can often mean that a tumor is initially considered inoperable. These vital vessels supply, for example, the liver or the digestive organs, including the small intestine and various parts of the large intestine.
The pancreas is somewhat hidden in the abdominal cavity, behind the stomach, between the spleen and the duodenum. You just mentioned blood vessels. Isn't it difficult to reach it surgically?
You are absolutely correct about that. When you look inside the human abdomen, you simply do not see the pancreas. Therefore, we must carefully dissect surrounding structures, holding them aside to reveal the pancreas. However, as experienced surgeons, we have specific routes to reach that area quickly.
Do you actually have to remove the entire pancreas when dealing with a case of pancreatic cancer, which does have a vital function after all, or can you just remove specific parts of the organ?
Well, that depends entirely on where the tumor is located. If the tumor is in the head of the pancreas, it is usually sufficient to remove the head of the pancreas along with the duodenum. If it is located in the area of the pancreatic tail, meaning more on the left side of the body, it may well be sufficient to remove only the tail of the pancreas and preserve the head. However, if the tumor is located in the middle of the pancreas, it is sometimes necessary to remove the entire pancreas. That can also happen.
In what specific clinical scenarios would you choose to perform a robotic-assisted surgical procedure for a patient with pancreatic cancer?
It is important to understand that not every tumor is suitable for robot-assisted surgical procedures. For left-sided tumors, meaning those in the body or tail of the pancreas, it is generally no problem at all and can be performed very well using the robot. With tumors in the head of the pancreas, it always depends a bit on how extensive they are and the overall clinical picture of the individual patient.
It is said that approximately 20 to 25% of tumors in the head of the pancreas can generally also be removed using a robot.
What are the primary advantages of being able to perform robotically assisted surgical procedures for patients diagnosed with pancreatic cancer?
The advantages are that we can perform this in a minimally invasive way. This means we only need small incisions, at least for the preparation. Of course, we have to remove the specimen, the tissue that was removed, through a slightly larger incision afterwards, but that can be positioned so that it is virtually invisible to the patient. Generally speaking, however, when we utilize minimally invasive surgical procedures, patients are able to get back on their feet much faster than before. This effectively means that the periods of post-operative pain are significantly shorter, you are ready to start moving around much sooner, and essential bodily functions like bowel movements and your natural appetite return to normal much more quickly.
As you were pointing out just a moment ago, in certain clinical scenarios, for instance, when dealing with metastases, systemic therapy is often the more logical approach. Would chemotherapy also be considered a medically advisable option, either prior to or following a surgical procedure?
That varies from person to person.
So, if the tumor is very large, specifically locally advanced, meaning it reaches the arteries, those major blood vessels, then it makes perfect sense to pre-treat the patient to potentially shrink the tumor with chemotherapy in order to have better options for surgical removal. Basically, for almost all malignant pancreatic diseases that have been operated on,
at the very least, as a follow-up measure, we still recommend that you undergo chemotherapy.
Typically, this begins 6 to 8 weeks after surgery, and the chemotherapy treatment lasts for 6 months. The aim is to at least minimize the risk of the tumor recurring, particularly in the form of secondary tumors, such as metastases in the liver or the peritoneum.
How taxing is this combination for those affected? I mean, first chemotherapy, then surgery, or perhaps first surgery followed by another long round of chemotherapy. What is the quality of life like afterwards?
It goes without saying that the surgery, depending on the specific case, is quite taxing, especially when it involves the head of the pancreas. After all, it is considered a major and highly complex abdominal procedure. Nevertheless, patients recover very well within, well, a few weeks. And we also operate on patients who are over 80 years old, because many people think that perhaps it can only be done up to a certain age. No, that is not the case. It's really more about the overall condition than chronological age. So biological age is more important than chronological age. Chemotherapy, of course, also has its side effects. There are different types of chemotherapy to choose from. There are very aggressive chemotherapies which naturally offer a better chance of success, and there are less aggressive forms. This depends heavily on the patient's age and overall condition and must be discussed with them on a highly individual basis. However, the patient's quality of life is restored to a good level afterwards, and there is a specific reason for performing this surgery or combination of treatments. The goal is to gain life expectancy and, if at all possible, to be cured. If you were not suffering from this condition, you obviously would not choose to undergo such a procedure. However, even with that in mind, when we follow up with the patients later on, the vast majority of those individuals would certainly opt to go through this same process once more.
How safe is the medical procedure you just described to me? And what are the specific risks or the various potential complications that might be involved?
I already mentioned that it is one of the most major procedures, especially when removing the head of the pancreas. The main risk actually is that the connection between the pancreas and the intestine fails to heal properly. We have to reattach the small intestine to the pancreas so that the secretions from the remaining part of the pancreas can flow back into the intestine, and we need these secretions for digestion. This occurs in about 5% of cases, at least in major medical centers. In this regard, it also depends quite a bit on the surgeon's level of expertise. The more of these specific connections they have performed, the safer the entire procedure becomes. Also, when the left side of the pancreas is removed, so-called pancreatic fistulas can occur because the head section is closed, usually with a surgical stapler, and then secretions can still leak out through the closed duct. However, this is generally not very dangerous because the enzyme, or rather the secretion, is not activated. It is only activated upon contact with the intestine, as we have it in the connection between the pancreas and the intestine, but not if we simply sever the pancreas blindly.
What are the actual long-term implications for the daily life and the essential bodily functions of a human being if a surgeon were to remove a portion of, or perhaps the entire, pancreas?
Of course, there are some adjustments you'll need to get used to, especially in the beginning. You'll want to avoid very sugary, very fatty, and very spicy foods, and you'll also need to take pancreatic enzymes for at least 6 months to give the rest of your pancreas a bit of a break and to help support your digestion. If you are already diabetic or borderline, it is, of course, possible that the diabetes will be exacerbated by the fact that parts of the tissue are being removed. But if you weren't beforehand, very few patients become diabetic afterwards. So most people remain healthy in terms of their blood sugar levels. If your entire pancreas must be surgically removed, you will inevitably become diabetic, and you will certainly be required to inject insulin daily while also adhering to a strict dietary regimen to ensure that you do not consume an excessive amount of sugar at once. Otherwise, the quality of life for most patients is very good. I'm sure that many of you know patients without even realizing it and don't even notice that these major procedures have been performed on them.
If the cancer were to come back, which would mean that there is a recurrence, would it be feasible for you to perform another surgical procedure in that situation? Or would it be more advisable to explore a completely different method of medical treatment?
That is a rather difficult question to answer. It is highly individual and depends entirely on where this recurrence occurs, which is to say where the tumor reappears. If it manifests in the form of metastases, then it is considered a systemic disease and surgery often does not help. In that specific case, chemotherapy is the treatment of choice. However, if it is very localized and easily accessible, then in individual cases, it may mean that surgery is a viable option. However, it must be clearly stated that the latter does not apply to most patients.
Thank you so very much, Professor Ulrich, for sharing all of this information.
Yes, thank you so much.
This has been the Specialist Physician Talk, brought to you by Primo Medico, which is the premier choice for medical specialists and expert physicians. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to listen to our program. For more comprehensive and detailed information concerning the topic of medical specialists, please visit us online at primomedico.com. Join us again next time when we return with our popular segment, which is called Medicine for Your Ears.